Welcome to the Gabdo Oral History Project. Today we're speaking with Neil Armstrong of Gabdo. Neil was born in Wollongong in 1936 and grew up in Avondale. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in. Okay, today, Neil, you're going to talk to us about what it was like to grow up in Avondale back in the 30s and 40s. What's the first things you can remember?
Reflecting on it, it was a wonderful place to grow up. And I'm able to reflect very much because I then subsequently lived in the very home that I grew up in and have only just 12 months ago left that property.
Well, that is a unique experience.
Yes, so I'm able to look at the mountain and look around the district and appreciate the changes that have occurred.
Yeah.
Growing up in Avondale was a lot of fun. We were pretty free and had plenty of land to wander over, and I think, we were without shoes for the first 10 or 12 years.
Nice. You grew up on a farm, didn't you, Neil?
Yes. And it was very much dictated by the seasons and the fact that it was a dairy farm. It was operational 7 days a week, and the outings were every fortnight. My parents would go to Wollongong and have a meal at the CWA rooms. And when you reflect on it, it was a pattern that was just repeated over and over.
Mm-hmm.
School was at the Avondale Public School, a one-teacher school, and again, it was a good experience. I can still recall the teachers and the fact that they would come around to the various homes of an evening.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Bill Collins was quite a tall fellow, and my mother had dust the mantelpiece because Bill...
You can see on top. So they were very much a part of the community, were they, the teachers?
Very much part of it. Then another teacher, Bevan Crater, lived in Wollongong and used to drive out each day. And if there was any delay, we were able to see his car come over the hill. And so if he was delayed in arriving, we would have scurried off and gone home and said the teacher didn't turn up. One of the local lads, Bill Brown, as he had set his eel line in the creek of a morning, and then after school he'd go and check whether he'd caught an eel or not.
Okay.
On one occasion he scurried up a pine tree, and Bevan Crater arrived and said, "Come down," and Bill decided that it wasn't a good idea to come down, so he stayed there for the day, and then when Bevan went home, he came down and went home.
Okay.
We built an air raid shelter, or we didn't actually build it, but the there was an air raid trench.
Mm-hmm.
Zigzag trench was dug so that in the event of passing through the war years, that we would be able to be all huddled down in this trench.
Yeah, okay, and it never got used, obviously.
No, it never got used.
Do you remember what year that would have been, Neil?
Early 1940s.
40s, yes. Would have been, too, yes. Definitely. Yeah.
And then there was a hall, a community hall, that was set up quite near the school, and that was a army building from Port Kembla that was... Mm-hmm. cut up and brought out and reassembled.
Okay.
and to be part of that, because quite a big event to have a hall out in Avondale. It's still there.
Is
an old galvanised shed.
And
I show my grandchildren, and that's where I had my 21st birthday party. And they
I was going to say, what sort of things went on in the hall?
Birthday parties and Christmas events and Santa Claus, and of course that would be Mavis's husband, Keith Chittick, in his rubber boots. We'd recognise the boots despite the disguise. So a lot of Yeah, a lot of good memories.
Yeah.
And the community was a very close-knit community.
Yeah.
My father was of the view that it's better to be on good terms with his neighbours because you never know when one needs the other or what have you. And growing up, we spent a lot of time with my father up in the hills cutting timber and fencing and whatever pursuits were on.
What was life like on the dairy farm for your parents? Would have been long hours, I imagine.
Long hours, yeah. But they were, that's what they were trained for or what they accepted in life, and they just rolled with the with the punches. Good seasons, bad seasons, 5-year drought, and really searching for water for the stock, and then of course floods, and got the reverse situation.
Explain to us how your parents ended up on the dairy farm in Avondale.
Because
how did they come to be in Avondale?
Because their parents purchased the property for them to go into dairying.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So effectively, it's four generations on the one property.
And so when did that finish? Do you remember?
I'm shocking with dates. About 20 years ago, and at that time, there were initially 22 dairy properties in Avondale, and then as the farmers got older and the next generation were disinclined to continue with the farming, then it shrunk back and shrunk back, the last dairy farm was, ceased dairying only a matter of about 5 years ago.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Do you know what about your family's land? Is it houses now or?
No, it's owned by a local plumbing contractor.
Okay.
And he's very much continuing with the as a rural aspect, and. It's historic. The buildings are historic significance.
Oh, okay.
And so everything's got to be preserved. The silo building, the two houses, the bridge across the creek.
Oh, that's good, isn't
it's
it?
All under the local government. Because the local government see it as quite unique. There is the old house, which is 120 years old. The younger house, which is probably now about 80 years old, and the dairy building, the silo, it's all still there.
Oh, wow.
And it just hasn't been, in effect, changed, and the dairying operation has continued around that.
So it's got quite a heritage aspect,
hasn't
it?
Yes.
Okay, so Neil, after you finished primary school, what happened then with your education?
We, being myself and two brothers, were bundled off to Helston Agricultural High School,
okay.
A boarding school
like.
Up at Glenfield. Mm-hmm. Quite traumatic in its initial form, but then we simply grew to accept that the sacrifice that our parents had made to enable us to attend a boarding school and the benefits that flowed from that.
Yeah.
Life at Helston was a lot of fun again. An agricultural high school, so we were up at 5 o'clock if we were on dairy, and then a lesser rising time if we were looking after the horses or pigs and poultry.
Yeah.
So it was an operating farm, and we were actually, along with the farm hands, part of the running of the operation.
Yeah, okay. Well, you would have been quite good at that, wouldn't you, growing up on a farm already?
we always thought we were. I subsequently, I'm travelling overseas, applied for a position on a ship to transport stock from Glasgow to Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the interview, of course, I knew all about stock and got the position as a result of it.
Okay. What was that like? That would have been interesting.
Again, a wonderful experience. Yeah. Last crossing of the North Sea, because it became far too rough after that, and they terminated, and we took Clydesdale and stud stock across to Canada, the Clydesdales, to go into one of the brewery teams.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so at the agricultural school, you had classroom two, I presume? Classroom,
oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, and with the normal studies?
Yes, there were boarders, mm-hmm. and there were dagos.
Mm-hmm. Explain that to us.
Dagos are children that come to the school for the day's tuition and then leave and go home.
Okay.
As opposed to the boarders, who are the bed bugs, they reside there overnight.
So dagos and bed bugs.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And there was all a clear distinction between them, because the boarders tended to form a unit. The boarders were children from all over the state, and so there were some wonderful connections and friendships that were developed, and there were a lot of breadth of experiences too, because if someone came from Cobar or Badalla, or then they are bringing their life experience into that melting pot.
Did you come across any others from the Depto area?
Yes, probably about half a dozen.
Okay.
And not necessarily at that exact point in time, no. But over the subsequent years.
Yeah. Okay, so it was a common, not common, but it was known to be a way of educating rural children in this area. Yeah. Oh, very good. So what was it like when you came home for holidays, from boarding school?
A weekend, once a month.
Okay.
And that was travelling by train into Central, and then waiting for the South Coast connection, and then by train down to Depto Station.
Yeah. How long would that take in those days? Most of the day?
No. 2 or 3 hours, I guess.
Yeah.
And the old steam train coming through the tunnels, filling with soot, if the windows weren't all closed. And then an observation there was the newspaper with the leftover fish and chips sitting on the floor. And this was quite a new experience to see how careless people could be.
Yeah.
And so that was a welcome time. At school we had a tuck shop and an allowance, mm-hmm. 2 shillings a week, I think it was. And, of course, you'd have to spend that sparingly, otherwise... otherwise the fortnight had run out and you'd be without money.
What did you spend yours on, mostly?
Probably the wrong things without being able to remember or recall.
No doubt.
Yes. They were it was before... There were the clear restrictions on tuck shops, so it was probably all the wrong. And the meals were pretty ordinary, out of a large kitchen. And
did you miss your mum's cooking?
Yes, without being able to sort of recall with any concern, it wasn't unlike a friend that used to come back to Kangaloon, and his only diet was potatoes. And so he'd really last all week without eating much, and then he'd go home and his mother would have a big pile of potatoes. And that was his stable diet.
Did you have a favourite dish?
No, I've got a very wide, you know, interest in food, and as a result of quite a lot of travel, I've, you know, been able to experiment or experience
different foods. Okay. So coming back during holidays and things like that, did you hook up fine with other kids that didn't go away to boarding school again, or did you feel distanced from them?
We were physically distanced from them in that Avondale was a long way from Dapto. I know it's only a 5-minute journey now, but it was, we were back in Avondale, not back in Dapto. And so we didn't have that sort of contact. We had sufficient with our own little team out there. And then I realised that our social contact was more with relations. And so cousins would come and stay, and then we'd go to, you know, evening functions. It was usually a relation or neighbour or close friend. And that was what socialising was all about.
With those that were there.
Rather
than trying to organise meeting with other people. So is there any sort of event that stands out in your memory back then, a dance or a party or...?
No, I can still remember my 21st birthday party in this school hall. Community hall. It wasn't actually a school hall.
And what did you do for 21st birthday parties in your in those days?
Oh, cousin came along and sang a song and people gave me a lot of presents.
Was there music? Did you dance?
Oh, yes, yes, and a bit of dancing, and then there was all the presents were clocks, bedside, fold-up clocks.
Yeah, long clocks.
And
things,
cufflinks. And
all the things that a young 21-year-old needed. That's good. And so would there be a big spread of food and everybody cook something, or...? They do that for the party too?
Yes, the catering was always done by the community for a party, and people would bring a plate along. Some people get confused, but in those days everyone realised the plate needed to have food on it. And another recall and an appreciation of how my parents handled it, my brother dived into a dam, as that was our swimming pool, and he got a very big splinter in his knee, and the x-ray of course doesn't detect timber, and so it went undetected, and he ended up with an enormous infection and was bedridden for 18 months. And so in addition to running the dairy farm, my parents had one boy in their bed, because they vacated their bedroom and set him up in their bed with his leg in traction, with a flat iron hanging on the rope. Well, you get the nearest object that weighs the right amount. And they coped with that without any external or outside assistance.
So there was no doctor's visits?
Yes, yes. Dr. Rail, I think, was the doctor at the time, and he would come out. The splinter finally, you know, discharged itself. And I often think that that was an added challenge, because they had the two other boys that were still running around and a dairy to run. And
How old was your brother when that happened? Do you remember?
Probably 12, 12 to 14.
That surely that was quite common for you boys to be hurting yourselves out there in such a rural environment, no?
No breaks, no, other than this, injury of the knee, but I can't recall, broken arms or... sprained ankles, running on uneven ground.
Yeah, yeah.
It is interesting, a friend that I work with now, he's observed that the city folk come out to his farm and he takes them for a walk and they're very unsteady on the uneven ground. And we take it for granted, and I now, if I'm walking in town, I walk on the grass or the uneven ground, just to try and preserve a little bit of balance.
Well, you grew up there in bare feet, as you say, those first few years, so you would have found your balance fairly quickly.
Occasionally, we'd be wearing the gum boots, rubber boots, and the cow yard in winter would become just one great bog. And if we went down to round up the cows, quite often your foot would plunge down into the mud, and then when you try and retrieve it, you retrieve your foot, but the boot's still in the mud. Learned how to clear a yard of cow manure. Just one clean sweep with the shovel and then continue the motion over and onto the heap. I can still do it with great skill.
Yeah, I bet you can. That would have been a daily job too, I'm
pretty sure. Yes. At the end of every milking, the dairy had to be, cleaned down,
so
and the yard.
Twice a day.
That's right. Yeah. 7 days a week, twice a day.
You three boys would have been quite an asset to your parents, I think.
They did not call on us to be involved with the dairying. It was more an invitation, an opportunity, if we wanted to help.
Okay.
It was a skill that I admired with my father, that we were keen to help without being directed to help.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
It is. It's only in latter years that one is able to reflect on aspects like that.
Did he have a large staff of farm helpers? Or?
No. Just himself and his brother. Mm. Okay. There was the occasional, called swagman, that would turn up and offer to, fell trees or split posts or something like that, but that was the occasional.
Okay.
There was no regular farm hand.
And they would come in and do a job, or do a job and then leave again.
Yes.
Okay.
Or if it was picking peas, then sometimes bring some outside helpers on that.
Okay.
We were pretty skilled at picking peas and.
Okay, so you did have some vegetables.
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then sewing the bags up with the ears on the corner and.
Yeah.
Transporting it, deciding whether to send them to the agent Cooper's or the agent Yates. And we were allowed to make that choice.
Okay.
And then you put the tag on it and bring them out and put them on the train at the station off they'd go to Sydney. And I guess in due course there'd be a check returned.
Yes.
The milk was in 10-gallon cans. And it had to be transported from the farm down to the pickup point on Avondale Road, which was only a matter of some 500 metres. And then the carrier would come by and put the cans on the back of his truck and take them to the station, the Dapto factory. And, of course, they'd be trained off to Sydney. Of course, this carrier was the ears and eyes of the district. And he had a nickname for all the farmers around the run. And there was the farmer that was a little bit frightened of heights, and when he got to get on his tractor, he was always hanging on to the guard. My father was rarely delivering the milk to the carrier. His brother used to do that. And they were both religious men, and so they had the nickname of Silent Night and Holy Night. Because one was seen and the other was rarely seen.
Very good.
Yeah.
Do you remember any other nicknames that the carrier had for other farmers?
Yes.
Only if they're repeatable.
There was one lady up in Avondale that was had the nickname Westerly Wind, because if any suitor approached the house, it was as if there was a strong draft of wind that was forcing them away.
He was quite creative with nicknames anyway.
Yes, yes.
Those are fantastic memories. Thank you so much, Neil. We really enjoyed listening to those.
Thank you, Joe.